I'll start and Chris will keep time. Okay. I really appreciated the courage of Julie Bowman this morning. Didn't you? Wasn't that courageous? But Julie, you mustn't go home without we pray for you. Okay? When you open your heart and you give us clear direction, but make yourself vulnerable as well, that only the Holy Spirit can do that. Especially with English people. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That was very, very special. And this morning was unusual. Last week, I was in Basingstoke in town centre, and it's the first time for quite a while I was there. We've been on the road about 6 months. And there was such a tenderness, such a gentleness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the meeting. And he's here again today. And the way you focus with the bread and the wine this morning, and you focused us on Jesus and everything that he's done for us, was very special. This, it really is a good church. Do we make mistakes? Yeah. But this is a good church. Any church where they value the apostles' doctrine, the word of God, where they value prayer, and there was plenty of prayer going on this morning, which really lifted my heart. I don't know how you responded, but my heart was lifted towards the Lord. Where the breaking of bread is a central part of what we're doing, and where fellowship happens, and I've experienced good fellowship over these last few days. That's all I look for in a church. And is the presence of God there? Because if the presence of God there is not there, it's just a club. We were just a kind of a mafia without doing the illegal things, or mostly illegal things, that they would do. But this is a family that loves Jesus, that has a father, and that expects the Holy Spirit to come. And he came this morning. And the quality of the words that were brought is very encouraging. And we have to learn how to follow them through, because when God speaks, he expects us to act upon what he said. But let's just turn to the word of God quickly. If this is okay, we're in Acts 9 and verse 31. And we were asked to speak on continuing in the Holy Spirit. Continuing in the Holy Spirit. And Acts 9:31 is a fantastic verse. I love this verse. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. You can't, if you're the leader of a church, you can't want more than this verse. First of all, how many of us would prefer peace to war? Oh, Stuart, you're not sure about that. I mean, I know that you, yeah, especially if it's to do with the rail and the tunnel. When I come through here and it's wall-to-wall lorries all the way down the motorway, we don't like that, do we, guys? It makes us late for work. It makes us irritated. It affects our families. We like peace. In the world, we have much tribulation. In Christ, there is a place of peace. And a place where we don't fear because he's overcome the world, no matter what the circumstances may appear to be. And when there's peace, people are built up. We say this, good government brings peace. Chris and I sat with your leaders on Friday night. It was wonderful. There was a sense of the peace of God growing there. Something is happening. I want to encourage you, do everything you can to support your leaders. Don't criticize them. Don't pull them down. Pray for them. If you see them making mistakes, think of how bad the mistakes would be if you were the leader. Come on now. God is giving you good government. Not perfect, but good. Walking in the fear of the Lord. If you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want to continue in the Holy Spirit, you have to learn how to walk in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. How many of you would prefer to be wise than foolish? Okay. Therefore, we learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. Don't do this. It will harm you. Don't do that. It will damage you. Don't do that. It's not going to build you up, and it won't leave you in peace. That's getting the point right. He's walking in the fear of the Lord. And when we walk in the fear of the Lord, something happens. The Holy Spirit comes because He is a Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He looks for people who walk in the fear of the Lord. And then the Bible gives this wonderful promise. Then you're multiplied. Growth begins to come. I think this is amazing because if you read the context of this, we tend to think, oh, wow, yeah, sure I am, because the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. But Peter and John have been thrown in jail twice. Stephen had been martyred. Philip had gone into Samaria. Who goes into Samaria, not Jews? Hostile territory. Had a tremendous Holy Ghost outbreak. Didn't know how to operate in the way that would bring the best of the Holy Spirit to the people, and they had to send down the apostles, Peter and John. Evangelists and apostles working together. And in the middle of it, there was tremendous persecution by a man called Saul of Tarsus. And he went and got saved. Have you ever worked with anyone you thought should not have got saved? He was a major threat to them. And yet at the end of this chapter, when he'd had to be let down over the wall in the city because he was so dangerous and people were so afraid of him, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Our prayer for you is that through all the turmoil and the difficulties that you have gone through, that you understand this, it's to purpose. They understood what they had gone through was to purpose. And the purpose was this, that through great tribulation, many battles we will enter the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid of tribulation. Out here on the wall is a strange thing, and it's written by people who are not Christians, you can see. They've taken the story of Joseph, but they put it in a secular context. And he says, don't be afraid of the pit, because in the pit, that's where everything gets resolved. And God has taken you through great difficulties and will continue to do so because He will refine you and judge His household before He judges a nation. We pray that the nation gets judged, but actually we should be praying that we get changed so we grow in peace. And the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And then we will multiply. That's why what Julie did this morning, I couldn't believe what you did, Julie Bowman. Are you awake? I couldn't believe what you did because you basically described the story of what we will say today. And you examined yourself, as Fiona said. She read the scriptures. Let a man or a woman examine themselves in the context of breaking the bread. And that's when the fear of the Lord comes. Not the fear that the devil brings, who condemns you and pulls you down, but the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings that says, do you know what? If you walk with me, it's going to be better. I'll make it right. I love walking with Jesus. How many of you love walking with Jesus? I was walking with him one day. And he showed me this vision, and it's unusual for me to see a vision like this. And in this vision, this was nearly 20 years ago now. In this vision, the Holy Spirit just showed me a huge tsunami was coming. I said, what is this about? And I could see what looked like black dots on the top of it, and then realized it was people. And there was this massive wave coming, and it came, this actual vision, the time that I didn't expect it. And he said, what has happened before? Wave of the Spirit in the 70s. And now I'm sending a second wave. And in this wave, at the top of the crest of the wave, there'll be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And I'll put them into the lands of the nations in a new way. And we watched that happen throughout the 90s. And about 5 years ago, I was minding my own business. I was in a worship meeting in Basingstoke. And suddenly I saw this tsunami again. And this time there were many, many, many more black dots. And I saw the wave coming over. And as it came over, I said, "What is this, Lord?" And he said, "This is people coming in from many nations. And it's going to be a wave of evangelism." And I believe we're in that wave of evangelism right now. I believe something is happening on a global scale that we've never seen before. Dispersion, a diaspora that is bigger than we've ever seen before. I'm going to take my ring off. Sometimes that affects the microphone. Okay, let's hope that changes it. No. Okay, let's try this one. Thank you. How's that? Is that okay? Can you hear me? And as this wave came in, and as people were coming over, and as people were landing, they were landing on dry ground, and they were all sorts of different colors and all sorts of different tongues. And in the last 5 years, we've observed something we've never seen before. We've seen a global movement like has never been seen across the nations. It's not just in one nation. It's in many nations. I don't know what your position is over Europe. I'm not telling you mine, other than this. We cannot avoid the nations. If we are saved, we will be ransomed from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and we shall be together with them. And whatever way we make a decision in this nation, for us as believers, we base it on this fact, that we should be citizens of heaven rather than citizens of earth. And we have to think in the way the King of Kings thinks and the Lord of Lords thinks. Okay, we'll take this. This is really good. This reminds me of a time I was in South Africa and they not had rain for 2-3 years. I didn't know they'd been praying for it. And it came and it began to land on the building. And it was so loud you couldn't hear properly. So they strapped two microphones together, turned them both up, and I preached off there. And I rebuked the rain and they rebuked me. They said, "We've had drought, we want water." You have to learn how things are happening in the nation. And what we began to see was this picture that's in 1 Chronicles 12:32 that says, the men of Issachar were men who had understanding to know what the times were and how Israel should react. And a few years ago now, maybe 4 years ago, I began to discover Syrians and Iranians and Iraqis beginning to come into our churches in Sweden, where we spend a lot of our time, in Denmark, Finland and Norway. And as they were coming in, something strange began to happen. These people, many of them were Muslims. They were finding Jesus Christ just like that. Easy. You could lead him to Christ. One man, the previous night, I'd met him in a meeting and someone introduced me and said he's an English pastor. And he yelled at me. He literally was angry. The anger in his face, he said, "Tony Blair, George Bush, what have you guys done to my nation?" The next day, the Holy Spirit hit him at the end of the meeting. He was smack out on the floor, saved, filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and a member of the Kingdom of God. You explain that to me. I went to a place called Jönköping in Sweden, and there were all these Iranians there. How many of you know that when the trouble started in Iran, most of us in the West were not very pleased with the Iranians? Most of us would be very nervous to meet an Iranian. They are the most lovely people you could wish to meet. And I watched as we baptized 6 Afghanis that night, men under the age of 30 years. I got them all filled with the Holy Spirit and watched God do some wonderful things with them. And then the Iranians came out and we began to pray for them. And it was interesting to pray in English and have it translated into Swedish and then into Arabic and then into Farsi, which was their language. And you're thinking, what is going on here? And we watched them get saved. And then an amazing thing happened. They started bringing people in off the street. They went outside and we were near a pizza place and there were lots of Iranians there. And so they brought them in and said, "Pray for this one and pray for this one." And even as we tried to get out through the door, there was a woman came in through the door who was not a Christian. They said, "Pray for her." I pray for her. She fell halfway out of the church building and halfway in. And we walked home because we were late. She'd come to an encounter with Jesus Christ. We are very white in this group today, but it's changing. If you go into the Basingstoke churches now, we are from all different nations. I lost count of the nations. At least a third of the church in town center last week were from other nations. There's a global movement going on that we don't need to be afraid of. It's a tremendous time to lead people to Christ. You're looking at me really strange. In our Gothenburg church, just 3-4 weeks ago, we baptized 22 Iranians who'd all come to Christ. Their stories are wonderful, aren't they, Chris? Some of them walked thousands of miles to get to freedom. And they've been met by people who show the fruits of the Spirit and love them and receive them and show the gifts of the Spirit can speak into their lives and see things changed. And our churches are growing in Scandinavia in amazing ways as the Holy Spirit has come to the church and they've continued to walk with Him. Get ready for some of your songs not to be sung in English anymore. I was in a church recently where the first two songs were actually sung in Farsi, and it was a Swedish church. And we're all having a go, and it's not easy, I can tell you. It's terrible if they write the squiggles up there. You can't keep up with it. But if they do it phonetically, you can sing with them. And to see them singing and worshiping God, and many of them can't sing in tune. They sing between the tune. And if Brian was listening to the guys who play their keyboards, he would have a fit. I was listening to Brian as he rolled his fingers across the ivories today. It was amazing. I'm thinking, the last time I heard Makrim play it, I couldn't understand if it was music. And they're all worshipping. And I'm thinking, oh, well, I'll join in. Guys, the reason I'm saying in this is because when the Holy Spirit comes, we're going to have to change. Are we going to continue and change? Our prejudices will come to the surface, and we'll have to change. Our thinking will have to change. I will have to change. Let me tell you about one Syrian. Iraqi, he was Iraqi. He was standing at the end of the meeting, Iranian. I was so confused with all these nationalities. I said, what are you? Just explain to me. This guy's standing there, and he said, we can't get him free. He's got a demon. How many of you know the Holy Spirit comes to set demons free? And so we cast this thing out of him. He comes to Christ. He starts speaking in tongues. I didn't know if it was tongues or not, because I'm thinking, is he still speaking in Farsi? So someone who understood Farsi said, no, he's got the gift. He's got the gift. And so this is what he did with me. Come here, James. He came up to me at the end. I had to go. I had to catch a flight. And he gets my hand, and he starts walking with me out of the building. And he says, don't forget me, Father. Don't forget me, Father. Please, don't forget me. And we got to the van, and they slid the door open, and he stood on the pavement, and he said, don't forget me. Please, don't forget me. And I said, I won't forget you. And this guy, I said, Christian, one of their men, he's called Human Mansour, but he's changed his name to Christian, Marcus Christian Pentecostal. How about that? That's his new name. Marcus Christian. I said, you can be his dad, and you look after him. 3 days later, he comes up on Facebook, and there he is. He's moved into Marcus Christian Pentecostal's house, and he's looking after him. He was one of the 22 that got baptized. We could tell you stories. You are so good. We would tell you story after story after story of what is going on at the moment, and it's coming to you. We have never known people so open to receive the gospel. Chris, you can come in a minute and just share this, but just to say this, Glenn Middleton, who some of you know, was in Mankato in Minnesota last weekend. He shared the gospel. A family had walked in off the street. They all came to Christ. Two of the people in the congregation, they're in their 30s. They've got two boys, one of whom's very, very autistic. They don't have a lot of spare time. They walk next door to their neighbors. These neighbors have been 30 years going to the Lutheran church. But do you know what? They didn't know Jesus. They led them to Jesus. One of the single girls went home and led her flatmate to Christ. By the end of the day, we had 5 people walked into the kingdom, because people are still walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, because people need comfort from the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to pray for you as a church, very simply this morning as Chris comes. I want to pray that you receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit as you walk in the fear of the Lord, that you in turn will be able to give comfort to others and bring them into what Christ has done for you at Calvary. Amen? Chris, come and improve it.
Okay, we'll start off with this microphone and see where we go. You could line them all up now if you'd like, your sound guys, and I'll just work my way through them if it would help. Dave has got the big sort of huge picture always. He sees like the world and the cosmos, and I'm very detailed. Like if we go to the zoo or anything like that years ago, he would, you know, see the big thing and be on to the next stage, and I'd be looking at the little flies that are on the lion's mane, you know. It's like that. And I want to zoom right in onto something a little bit more detailed and something to do with you and next week. And the week after, and the week after. And you've come to the end of a fantastic series on the Holy Spirit. And I guess you've gone through all sorts of teaching on that. And my question will be, Dave's already mentioned this word once already, what's the purpose of it? Why do that? And I think you have such a choice, don't you, now? Because you can either just move on and do the next teaching series, whatever that might be, and say, that was a great teaching series. Or you can now do the practical. And I love theory. I did the history of art, and I used to love sitting with great thick books learning about art. But as soon as the teacher would say, you know, now it's time to actually do a painting, I would shrink inside and think, no, I don't want to actually paint. I could have all the theory, but it was only useful to me if it was theory. Until I actually did something with it, nobody else would see a painting that I did. And I think, you know, you're standing at a bit of a crossroads when you come to the end of a series, because that is the question. Okay, so what? So why have we learned all this wonderful stuff, this amazing stuff? And it's to empower us and equip us. That's what the theory's for. That's what the Bible's for. It's not there as a book. It's a wonderful, poetic, and history, and everything else book. But as long as we just read it and don't implement it, then it's not what it was intended for. Because God is about transformed lives and transformed society. And you are about transformed lives. And we heard that wonderful prophetic word this morning about the weeds. Every single one of us, we have to be prepared to change and apply the theory into our lives. And not only do that, but actually believe that as sons and daughters of the living God, full of the Holy Spirit, that we can go out and make a difference in our neighborhood, in our families, in our job situations and our colleges, with your workmates, wherever your area of influence is. Where is your area of influence? You each have one. We each have one. And the wonderful thing is that your area of influence is unique to you. You have your neighbors. I don't have your neighbors. I can't touch their lives. You can. And you, full of the Holy Spirit, can go and bring in the kingdom of God where there is kingdom of darkness at present. And you can see those areas transformed. Do you believe that? That's what we're on the earth for. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do we mean when we say that? We mean that it's a possibility that the kingdom of heaven can come into your neighborhood. The kingdom of heaven can come on earth now. Now, I don't know all about eschatology and what the future holds, and I have no opinion on that at all, except I know it's going to be okay in the end because Jesus rules and reigns. But I do know that every single one of us who is born again and spirit-filled has to make a difference, because that's what we're intended to do. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Doing greater works than even Jesus did. I can't get my head around that, but I believe it. Somehow in the mystery of God, I believe it. Don't ask me to explain it. but I believe it. And that's a journey that we're on. Am I there? No. But I'm going there because we're on the journey. So the tongues you've probably talked about in the gifts of spirit, it can be, you can use it this week for your own edification, and isn't it wonderful? That sounds beautiful, and it's a sign that I am filled with the Spirit. Or you can use it for warfare and intercession. You can go deeper in it and use it and say, Lord, would you use this gift of tongues in a way I've never used it before? Would you help me pray your prayers? What is it that you want me to pray? I'm going to pray in tongues, and it's going to make a difference somehow. We can use it effectively. Healing. We can pray for each other after the meeting this morning, and we can keep it in these four walls. Or we can walk down the street and we can look for opportunities with our neighbors. Go, are there open doors that God will give you even this week to pray for healing for somebody? Where you're not pushing your way in, but the Holy Spirit will open the door for you to walk through if you're prepared to walk through it. Ooh, that's a bit scary, isn't it? The words of knowledge that Jesus used, they weren't just in the synagogue. They weren't just with his disciples. They were with people that hadn't met him before. And what were they? They were attention grabbers. And you can operate in words of knowledge when you're speaking to your neighbor over the fence about the garden. If you can just be talking to them and just say, Lord, is there something I just need to say? So that you are open all the time. You can use me, Holy Spirit, in this moment. How can you use me? So you've got one ear to what the person's saying and one ear to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Then you've got the choice. Dare I do it? Dare I say it? And there'll be many times when you kick yourself and think, missed it there. That's okay. As we started this morning, we're not the perfect church. Have a mistake on us. Get up and get going again. Next time you will say it. Next time you will do it. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit that you've been learning about, is it so that you can be a nicer person? I don't believe it is. I believe it's that as you learn to have those fruits, grow in those fruits in your life, that it will actually make a difference because you are becoming more like Jesus as you grow in the fruits. You're becoming more like him. Then when you go into the shops and into the workplace, you are actually carrying something of the presence of God. Do you believe that when you go into the shops and the workplace, you are actually carrying the presence of God into that place? That place can be different because you just walked in. You can affect the atmosphere. If you're not full of anxiety, but you're full of peace and love and joy, you will make a difference in your workplace. I wish I could tell you some stories about how that came about, but believe me, it's true. You can, as you grow in the fruit. So it's practical outworking. So just a couple of ways that you can do this week and the week after. As a follow-on, how to continue in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things is embark on an adventure of faith, expecting the supernatural. It says signs and wonders will follow you. I don't know about you, I get very exercised about that. Where are the signs and wonders that are following me? And I can either say, well, it's not for me, but or it's for the evangelist, or it's for the one with the healing ministry. But the truth is that is spoken to the disciples, not just the ministries. So it includes every single one of us in this room, that signs and wonders will follow you. That's massive. How do we get over that barrier of unbelief and, well, you don't know me? How do we? Well, we set off on the journey and we start to expect supernatural signs and wonders to follow us. They may not be paralytic men and women jumping out of wheelchairs. It may be a very small step. In fact, it will be a very small step, but it will be a start as you pray and as you see signs and wonders following you. And don't expect to understand it, because you won't. And it won't all happen the same way each time, because it didn't with Jesus. And I'd just like to read an email to you that came last night. And this is from a lady called Vanessa. I've known Vanessa for many, many years. She's a bit younger than me. She's a small, quiet lady. She's not sort of outwardly charismatic. If she walked into the room, you wouldn't necessarily notice her. Not a big ministry confident type person. But she's been doing this. She's been saying, Lord, I want to be obedient to you. Will you help me? And can I just read the email that she sent? She said that last Monday at North Church's lunchtime prayer for Basingstoke, it said, she hasn't written it in good English. I'll just read what she says. It doesn't make total sense, but you'll get the gist here. God is mighty to save, and his singing over us was very prominent, and I could visualize prodigals in our families being saved and getting set free. So on Tuesday, I went out into the garden to meditate on Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I felt very moved and peaceful when the rescue dog next door became very distressed and was whining as his owner had gone out. The day before, he'd whined for 4 hours. I asked the Holy Spirit to comfort the dog, as it was distressing me and I wanted to focus on these verses. Instantly, he stopped whining. I asked the Holy Spirit how that happened, as it was so quick. And I saw in my spirit an angel stoop down and touch him. Amazing. I then went on walkabout, asking the Holy Spirit to guide me, tucking into my pocket the verse above that I felt prompted to write out. I felt a nudge to go to a person's house, even though they usually would be at work at this time. So in obedience, key phrase, so in obedience, I approached and noticed the window was open. So I knocked and after a chat, asked if I could pray for the person. Whilst praying, I felt the prompt to give her the piece of paper with the verse written on it, and it made her cry. I was able to pray into the things that were bothering her, and she was so surprised and grateful that the Holy Spirit had directed me to her. I carried on walking, and I saw an elderly lady whom I'd never met before, standing on a doorstep waiting for her carer to drive away. I waved and said hello and felt prompted to go into her garden. After chatting a bit, she invited me into her home, and I asked her if she knew Jesus, and she said, well, I try to be polite to everybody. I told her Jesus couldn't love her any more than he already did, and he couldn't love her any less, whatever she did. See, she wasn't preaching the gospel. She was sharing the love of Christ. There's a big difference. Ruby gave me a big smile, and I prayed that Jesus would make himself known to her and the Holy Spirit would help her to remember to talk to Jesus every day. I walked on. This is all in one morning. I walked on and I met a girl who was an ex-drug addict. As we were chatting, a young woman went by on the other side calling out names and swearing. The girl told me that this woman had bullied her for many years and it was such a problem to her. So I shared with her how Jesus was able to help her, and I prayed into this situation in the name of Jesus, and she went off happy and peaceful. I'm so touched by the events of that morning that I wanted to share it with you all. That is putting the theory into practice. And every single one of us can do that. And it won't be comfortable, but we have to just do it anyway. The second thing is get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. If you're an evangelist, you will revel in this and it will be a great joy and you won't have a problem. If you're an extrovert or a very, very overtly friendly person, you will find no problem perhaps. The majority of us will be uncomfortable with this. And my advice would be this. Don't expect to feel comfortable with this. This is not comfortable. Get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. I am so uncomfortable saying to somebody, you know, that I've met in the shop or the woman at the till, can I pray for you? Or I'm a Christian, I'd love to pray for you, would that be all right? I can't do that, so I miss that stage out. I just start praying. I find it easier. So there's a lady at the till, she was telling me, I said, how are you? She's going to hospital to have tests, and she feels very, very anxious. I can't say, oh, I'm a Christian, can I pray for you? Some of you will do that. I feel that just too uncomfortable. So I just say, oh, let me pray for you. And there and then, I make sure there's nobody behind, not a queue of people. I never do it with a queue of people because it's too embarrassing for them, let alone me. But if they're on their own, I think, thank you, God, you've cleared a space. You notice how many times God will clear shopping aisles in the supermarket. You'll look around, somebody shared with you, they've got a bad ankle or whatever it is. You look around, there'll be nobody there. God's cleared a place for you to operate in the Holy Spirit. Walk through that door, do it. Take your courage in your hands. Think, I feel uncomfortable, so what? Put the uncomfortable feeling on one side and think, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And pray with them and see what happens. 99.9% of people will just say thank you and they will love it. You may get the odd one who says no thank you. But in my experience, I've had one person, that's all. And just pray a blessing over them. They can handle that because we all say, somebody just has to sneeze and we say, oh, bless you. That's not difficult to say, bless you. We're good at that. And people are good at receiving bless you. So I saw somebody, you know, we went for a coffee yesterday and there was a beautiful little baby sitting on the table with mum and dad either side. Absolutely beautiful. And it's the easiest thing just to admire a baby and just say, well, bless you. And then it's ever so easy to say, in Jesus' name, bless you, be blessed. Just start there. But expect the Holy Spirit to come from you because you're full of the Holy Spirit into that situation. Get comfortable with feeling comfortable. And finally, don't be put off by rejection or failure. There isn't time to go into this. There's a story I wanted to share, but I'm not going to share. All right then, we were in Sweden the other week and there's a lady I've known for a long time. I love her, I know her. She's a very sweet Christian lady, has severe back pain, neck pain, upper neck and everything. There was a healing word in the meeting, we were all praying for healing. It was almost like that's what God was going to do. The worship had been great. I just thought, this can't fail. This just can't fail. And I prayed for her. Nothing happened. And I'm thinking, no, something's got to happen here. She's got to be healed. The scene's set. Everything's right. God, we're being obedient to you. No, nothing. So I remembered what Roger Cole taught us. Often healing comes through the night. So I knew what to say. I'd learnt it, as you may have done, those of you who heard Roger. And I said, well, let's see what happens in the morning. So, and I woke up several times in the night and prayed for her. And I was so full of faith that she was going to get healed, no doubt. The next morning, she was avoiding me, and I thought, it hasn't happened. She just avoided me. So I went up to her, and I said, how are you? She said, it's no better. And I just felt really down. Didn't understand it. I'm thinking, I'm being obedient. I knew what to say. We were in a good place. Felt the love of God for a while. Why, Lord? Why? And I thought, oh, perhaps this isn't for me. Perhaps I'm making it up. All that stuff piles into your mind. You go through the battle of the mind. The next day, we were in a different church, and we were on the way to the airport, and I was not thinking of anything other than going to the airport. A 20-year-old came up to me. I've known her for a long time. How are you doing? I'm just thinking, I want to get out. I want to get on the plane. I want to go home. And she said, oh, I'm all right, except I've got a bad back. And I just said, oh, in Jesus' name, I just pray for this back. She starts jumping up and down. Oh, I can feel it getting better. Oh, it's all moving. Oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. And she goes round and tells the people in the church, I'm healed. God's just healed me of this bad back. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, what? I was thinking of getting on a plane. There was no music. There was nothing. And I got on a plane. I thought, I do not understand God. And I think, why should I expect to understand God? I don't even understand my husband. I mean, you know, I don't even understand myself. Why should we expect to understand God? God is God and we are not. We are called to be obedient. And so next week, let's look to move some of this into practice. And I would encourage you to go deeper with God. That's another thing I want you to try and do this week. How can you go deeper with God? I had a picture of a miner coming up from the mine, and he was filthy with coal dust. He had been working hard, sweat on his face. He had given his life to mining coal, and the coal was good. It provided warmth for people. And what he didn't see as he was walking away from the mine was that underneath this seam of coal was a seam of solid gold. And I felt the Lord say that we can spend our lives as coal miners. It will be a good and noble thing to do. It will have effect. It will be blessing. But God has got a seam of gold for every single one of us. And we have to know how to mine for the gold. It means going deeper. It means giving up stuff that we're doing already. It means that we are going to pursue God and not be satisfied where we are. It means we're going to stir up a hunger and say, God, my soul longs and cries out for you. I am hungry and I'm thirsty for more. But he has got gold for us. Imagine this church full of people, full of the Holy Spirit, trained in the Holy Spirit, pursuing God and making a difference. I believe that can happen. That's what God's got. That's what God's got out of this series. It's only just beginning.